our music, which means we're already starting to dance and kind of move around here in the Aging Well Together show in the WCOM studio. We have a really great show lined up. And Alicia, a little bit later than...
No, the mic's not on.
No, it's on. It's on. It's a little bit... last week's show was wonderful. Heavy. It was all about legislation.
Oh my God. It was about death.
It was about
it
death.
It killed me. It killed me.
It was, yeah,
folks. I'm gonna hurt you.
No pun intended.
It was a great show. Right, North Carolina, all about medical aid and dying legislation. It was a double show. It is up. But this show is gonna be just
funny,
fun, and light and airy. No pressure, Ken. But
no pressure.
Or we can go deep, however it takes us. But we are thrilled you all are back with us for the Aging Well Together show. I am really excited about today's show. I'm welcoming my new friend. We've met like three or four times, or I've been in the... We've met twice, but I've been in the audience. So I've known you, but now you finally got to meet me. But we've got Dr. Kenneth Ringgold II with us. And I say that because his son is also joining us. Kay is with us.
Can you spell that, please?
Kenneth Ringgold III is with us. There's so many things. Ken is, I was thinking about you last night. Ken is a man of many hats, literally and figuratively. And today was no exception. He has the most beautiful hats, and he's always wearing a great hat when I meet him. But besides the wearing hats, he has been and is a pastor, a speaker, a singer, a mentor, a marketer. He now works to elevate a range of nonprofit organizations through fundraising and advising and so much more. His journey is amazing and inspirational, and I'm really excited to dive into that in just a moment. I hope that was an okay. I didn't tell him how I was going to introduce him, but I hope that was okay.
I loved it.
Good. As always, before we dive into our show, we need to give a shout out to WCOMLP Chapel Hill Carrboro, coming to you on 103.5 FM. If you are in a small signal strength area, or you can hear us on WCOMFM.org, they are the hosts of our wonderful Let Us Allow Us to Be On. That was fun language for the Aging Well Together show. But our show is brought to you by the amazingly helpful team at the Orange County Department on Aging. As you know, if this is the first time on your show, and I think we have a special listener, we get to say hi to Ken's mom. So
Ken's
I know
mom.
We have at least one new listener, but if you are a returning listener, you know that each week we interview special guests to share information and resources and insights and stories.
You can see my mom on there?
I can't see her on there, but you told me she was logging in.
Oh,
no,
yeah,
but
yeah. I text her, yeah.
There might be
so
a way.
Cute.
I don't want to mess
she
with
said,
the computer right now, but... We hear mom is on, but you can catch us live every Thursday from 2 to 3, or you can stream us live, as I said, through WCOMFM.org, or you can listen to any of our previous shows. Alicia, this is show 89.
I was waiting for that.
We're getting there. And so our shows, our recordings, we like to sound cool and say our podcasts, even though it's so much cooler to have a radio show, but our radio show becomes a podcast, and you can listen to it through the Orange County Department on Aging's website, which is, and that's where I take a little pause for people to get their pen and paper, because I know everybody wants to know with this. It's www.orangecountync.gov/aging, orangecountync.gov/aging. Ken, I always have to shout out, you have to put the NC for North Carolina, or people are going to end up in Orange County, California. So, and that has happened. So,
and I live there.
You did? Oh, every show. Alicia's a vault. She doesn't share a lot of information, but she throws things out every once in a while. Yeah, we're going to dive into that more at some point. Oh, you should have seen her last show. Yeah, everything is on a need-to-know FBI. That's what I said. She said FBI, and I said, this seems more CIA to me. On our website, if you go to it, you can find links to the Aging Well Together radio show. But there's also a host of other helpful resources all around Orange County. County Aging Services that you can find on the website. And if you have questions about any of the resources we discuss on the show, or if you want to suggest a topic for an upcoming show, you can call the Department on Aging, and here's their general number, 919-968-2070, or feel free to email me at, and I got a great email the other day. My email is long and smushy, agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com. Hmm. agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com. I'm busy moving around my chair. I'm too short. I'm like going up and down. So email me. We are busy planning shows for 2026 already. Now. It's crazy. A quick shout out to the Carrboro Bass Band, the Robert Bradford Quintet, for allowing us to use their great music. You just heard like 5 seconds of it. You'll be able to hear more at the end of the show. We love them for allowing us. And if it's, you've already heard my fabulous co-host, Alicia Reed.
Hey, Heather.
Hello, and Alicia is back with us today. Alicia is one of the extraordinary wellness instructors with the Orange County Department on Aging. I'm looking at Ken and telling she gets people moving. Not me, but she gets other people. It is an ongoing 2 years of the show, her trying to get me moving more. It has.
She's waiting till she gets her red, white, and blue card.
I know. Well, that would be too long away. That's another 10 years for my Medicare card. I do have my AARP card, and you know what happens in 3 weeks?
Ta-da.
My Walgreens birthday. I'm turning 55, and so I call it my Walgreens birthday because once you turn 55, you can get a discount at Walgreens. So I call it my Walgreens birthday. But anyway, it's so wonderful. Alicia, and I'm excited to tell Ken about this, she volunteers with all kinds of community organizations.
Wonderful.
She's amazingly involved, and she's host of the show that comes right after ours, Afternoon Talk with Alicia.
Okay.
So great to have you back. Back, my friend, great, because we had to take a few weeks off, so it's great that we're back together. Mm-hmm. And as for me,
Heather,
I was going to try to talk slower today. I'm already failing. I'm Heather Altman. I'm your host. I've spent over 25 years working in aging services and supports. I help older adults and their families connect with resources in our community. And as I shared, I'm almost 55.
Almost.
And I am focusing on my own changing needs as well as being a caregiver for older family members. So I am super invested in how we are all aging well together. All right. Now, I'm super invested in our show today. We have a great guest this week. As I said, I'm excited to have Kenneth Ringgold here. Ken, who's also, I was reading, stalking your bio that you shared, who's actually Dr. Ringgold, and he'll tell us about that. As I shared, there's all kinds of things. We want to learn about his experience being a pastor, a speaker, a singer, a mentor, a marketer, now a nonprofit coach and advisor. He does image consulting and all kinds of things. We have a lot to talk about, but first, welcome, Ken.
Welcome.
Thank you both, Heather and Alicia.
Yeah, it's really great to be here. And you brought your son.
Okay.
Absolutely. I call this one here my mini-me.
Oh.
Okay.
Because everything I can do,
you can do. Take it to the next level.
I feel as long anything you can do, I can do better. Okay, do you know that reference?
I do.
Okay, thank goodness. We've been already... Kay is a little bit younger than us by more than 30 and 40
years. But I like
that.
You should be taking it to the next level.
Absolutely.
For sure, every time.
Opening up for you.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Well, and I think, if I'm not wrong, this is the first time we've had a father and son on the show.
That is true.
And we pride ourselves on being a family show.
Nice.
We have had, my father's been on the show. Alicia's brother has been on in the studio. One of my daughters came on. We've had a mother-daughter.
We've had husband-wife.
You know whose husbands are not coming on the show.
I bet you know.
Our husbands don't even. Does your husband listen to the show? My husband does not. Every once in a while, I'm doing some recording and I make him listen. Even like when our daughter was on, I'm like, come on, listen to your kid.
My husband doesn't even know I do a show.
Yeah, our husbands want nothing to do with this show, but we love having family members on the show. So this checks a new box, having a father son. So
wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kay.
We hit a milestone today.
We hit a milestone today. Oh, wait. I brought it. Here's why. Hold on.
They took mine.
Absolutely.
I like that. So Ken and Kay, for a year and a half, Alicia and I felt very strongly we should have a sound machine. And so for Christmas last year, Christmas and Hanukkah, I spent a whole $9.99 and I bought one off Amazon for us. And we like to use it, but did you notice how last week I did not use it?
No, it was about death.
I felt like the topic did not.
Nothing deserved cleaning.
We deal with a lot of deep ones, but
it was 2 hours of death. And I hope you're listening. It was a great death.
It was a really, really wonderful show.
But it killed me.
So if this is all about us, this probably annoys the listeners and it might annoy the guests. But Alicia and I, it's now been, 5 months and we are not sick of the red box yet.
So. I actually bought one and left it here and it disappeared.
Yeah, it is actually really annoying because there's no off button and I carry it around with me. And every once in a while I'll hear, no, I didn't mean to do that one. I'll hear this. And I'm like, what's happening? And it's because you
which
just press it.
Which is how Alicia feels
it.
When she's talking about death.
Oh my gosh.
For 2 hours.
So I think I warned you that we were really like lighthearted and chatty.
I love it.
We're not going to talk at all for the rest of the show now. Ken,
yes.
Tell us all about you. First, tell us about your background, where you're from, and how you got started on your journey, because I know it's going to take twists and turns.
Twists and turns are it's the excitement of life.
It is.
I am first want to say thank you for the invitation. I appreciate it. Heather's reputation has preceded her for many, many wonderful, wonderful
her questionable
people.
Lack of professionalism reputation.
Yeah,
go on.
Absolutely not. Your reputation is stellar.
That's right.
And everyone that I met, I knew of you before I actually met you.
So the fact that I knew of you in the audience. Okay, go on.
Yes,
let's love each other.
Dr. DeLon.
We love DeLon Canterbury, one of our earliest shows, geriatric pharmacist, deprescribing. He was one of our early ones, like show 10 or 12.
Yeah, he's proven to be a great friend to me here. Those of you who do not know, I'm new here in Raleigh. Mm. So I moved here from Pennsylvania.
Ooh.
Delaware County, not far outside of the Philadelphia airport. I worked, my last position, I was there as an admissions director, sales and marketing and admissions, and all but 15 minutes from the airport there in Philadelphia.
Oh.
So upon moving here, Stephanie Gill, with Synergy Home Healthcare.
Oh, sure.
She is the one who opened this region to me. I came down and began working with her. So shout out to you, Stephanie, if you're listening. And from there, of course, networking and business development and meeting other people opened a lot of venues for me and opened a lot of avenues. And the people down here were like, arms
ready.
Wide open.
Yeah, there's a reason why those of us, I mean, you're mid-Atlantic, I'm from up north, but there's a reason why we come down here and we settle. It's been almost 30 years for me. I'm clearly not from the South, but it is very friendly.
Yeah, yeah.
There's issues, don't get me wrong, but it is a very, especially this area.
Yeah.
The Triangle.
Yeah, it's a welcome change.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say that even from Pennsylvania, thankfully, I was blessed to work with so many wonderful people there as well. Still connected, you know, when I go up, I go eat with them, we hang out, I go to my old job, we sit, we talk. So it's just a great transformation, part of my evolution.
I was going to say, because you went to if this was the alphabet, you went to letter T or something. There's a whole AB, I don't know why I'm doing that analogy. There's a whole ABC, because that was two or three careers into it, what you were doing in Philadelphia, because I want to go deep. Because
so you want to go back to the beginning?
Well, you know, it's
in
up,
the beginning, well, no.
It's up to you, but I do want to talk about definitely your work in the church and your upbringing as a pastor. And I don't want to tell your story, but you're not the first in your family to be a pastor, because
no,
I feel like there's a through line in your work.
So I'm giving, I was born to pastors.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, when I was born, they weren't pastoring at the time. Of course, when I was born, my father was playing the drums. He was directing a choir. My mother had moved from Jersey. My mother is from East Orange, New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
My father is from Sassafras, Maryland.
Oh, okay. So that sounded like something south in the second, and then you got Maryland. I thought you were going to say like Mississippi.
As he would say, if you close your eyes and you're driving, you're going to miss the whole town.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he was raised in the church by his great-grandmother. My mother raised in the church by her mother, which was my Nana, who you will all automatically hear about her. I know people get tired of me when I'm talking because I talk about my grandmother a lot.
Nope. We'll love it here.
But we'll get to that. So my parents raised me in the church. Because that is what was in them. And so they instilled that into me. And I grew up in the church, the old type of church. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about, you know, Sunday two services, Tuesday night prayer meeting, Thursday night Bible study, revivals that may last 3 days, but it may last 7 days. Mm-hmm. You know, getting home at midnight and getting up, and you did not miss school. You know, so I came up in a very
strong values.
I came up in a very ordered household. We didn't do the yelling and the screaming at each other. I came up in a household that was, I won't say quiet because I was in it. Okay, so I'll never say that. But I came up in a household where there was prayer in our household. There was biblical instruction in our household. So that's part of my foundation. It's never, ever going to leave me. And I perpetuate that belief in my life and also on those that I'm able to enrich and to help. So that is the foundation. So my mother, she's going to hate this. My mother sang.
Because she's listening. All right, so far I'm not hearing anything bad.
Yeah, my mother came up in the church singing. Now, I remember her as a child, and my mom could sing. But she stepped back from the microphone. But she raised her children. And so, you know, when I had a problem in school, my mother came to the school. There was no, and see, I'm a firecracker. Always been.
Imagine that.
I can tell.
So, you know, she had her work cut out for her because there were certain principles in my household that when I saw them happening in school that didn't match what was in my house, I automatically questioned that. You know, so, you know, my father didn't come home yelling and screaming at me. So now you're my teacher, you're yelling and screaming at me. We need to talk because I don't understand that. You're not yelling at me, you know. So, you know, my mother was there. I remember having memories of sitting in the office. I didn't get in trouble a lot, but, you know, and I would hear her high heels click, 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 click through the hallways.
Just sit back and be like, Mom's going
to take I'm like, Mama Bear's coming in. I ain't got to worry about nothing. Mom's getting ready to take care of this whole situation, you know. So those memories of having that foundation, it helped to ground me. And it helped, you know, no matter where I went in my journey, I veered off, I think, like a lot of us do. But it helped to keep that foundation in my soul, you know, where I knew, okay, you can't go but so far to the right or so far to the left. Because, one, you got parents that are home every night laying around their bed praying for their children. You know, you have a grandmother who's praying for you. I have an auntie who's, you know, so that is always in someone's mind and it never leaves you. And so now that I have, and I'll be more methodical as I move forward, but now that I have children, and, you know, half of them are grown, by January, 4 out of the 6 will be grown.
Ooh, 6 of them. And I was like, is Kay one of them? I mean, he's over 21. I'm counting him as grown. Are you counting him as grown? Kay, are you grown?
You know, because I'm...
he's laughing.
I'm going to tell you this. I always mess with them because I have grown children, I understand that although they are grown in their years, to us, you know, they're never grown, you know. And so I joke with them sometime. I'll see, and now I laugh with my mom, and she's probably listening. I'll go to his social media, and I'll say, son, yes, take that down.
Oh, I do that too. And my girls want to block. One of them's not on that much, but my 20-year-old, she's on Instagram, and I'll see things. I'm like, I don't like it. And she's like, I think she's going to block me before she takes it down.
I'm like, take it down. And so he doesn't. But see, the thing about him is he doesn't fuss with me. He'll, okay, Pop, you know, and you know, he'll take it down. So I'm trying to allow, you know, because he is grown. You know, so part of, I think, and speaking to aging well, you know, as because no matter what area of age we are, that's something that we do have to concentrate on is aging well. So if I'm 20, Lord willing, I'm going to be 21, I'm going to be 22. I want him to age well, you know, and I've taught him how to make decisions. I've, I spent that time with him so he knows kind of what to do. So, you know, I'm learning now. I'm trying to learn. Now, he may give me an F on my report card, but in my head, I'm trying to learn how to back up and be that source of advice and or wisdom when he comes so that he is not overstimulated by Papa's always saying this, you know, so that when I'm speaking to him, maybe he'll hear it. But I haven't had I'm thankful that I have not had any issues with my son in that manner of disrespect or anything of that nature. And you know, him being, of course, a baby and small, you know, when I look back, I see things and errors as a parent that I made, you know, that you do it the best that you can and you use the knowledge that you have.
Exactly.
But his our relationship is such that when I know that I am wrong, I know how to say I was wrong with that. You know what I mean? Can you forgive me for that? And that dynamic, I think, helps relationships age well.
I'm not there yet with my girls. Like, there was a situation recently where I probably should have said I was sorry, but I was like, no, I'm not ready yet. You need to, you earned that that talking to. But no, for the most part, my girls now, I'm trying to back off giving advice if it is not asked for. That so when they call me, I'll even check. Are you calling to vent?
Right.
I'm so sorry. What would you like? Do you just want to vent, or do you want some solutions, or how can I help? Because I have learned that if I give solutions or ideas and they're not open to it, especially one will be like, no, that's a great, you know, like, it's just, she's not ready to hear it. So but she's then, like, I just wanted to tell you this was going on. And I said, I'm so sorry, and I'm here to help if you want something. But I've learned to try to be quiet except for just validating the pain.
And I think that what that does, what I'm learning is then I get to see what move he's going to make or what move they're going to make. I have all boys. So it's important.
And I have two girls and I come from all girls. As my mother used to say, we don't know from boys. Like,
it's a little bit different. It's a little bit different, right? So you have, when you're raising daughters, like, women and men are biologically different. So the way that they think is just astronomically different.
If you gave me any problem, I wouldn't know what to, I'd be like, sorry.
It's interesting, right? Because a lot of the times, like, if I call my father and I'm talking about something, 9 times out of 10, I want the solution. Hurry up. Give me the solution.
Because you do want to fix it.
Like, we got to fix
not
this.
Not women.
You know
I grew up with both.
And not women.
No, my daughters just want to vent and have me to say, I'm so sorry, baby. Why don't you get, let's go get you something to eat. And why don't you take a nap? Like, for us, it's very biologically and hormonally with my girls. It's like, or my women.
I think it's.
Let's just get some rest and food and just, and rethink of it tomorrow.
I think the woman's intuition of her children.
It's different nuturing.
There you go.
It's nurturing. Yeah.
It's a nurturer. It's let me fix the emotional part.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the male figure, although I do believe that, you know, we have emotions as well.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, for me, it's like I need my boys who will be men to know how to make the decision apart from the emotional connection.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then we don't want to get trapped into making our decisions based on our feeling. Because at that point, we're going to crash and burn.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we are pretty, as much as we like to break down gender stereotypes in my household, we do fall into, I am the emotional support animal for my daughters. And if they have a very specific question, especially my older daughter, who's an engineer, like, she'll call my husband, or, hey, I've got a tire to fix, or I've got a very specific, or let's talk about this financial issue. So he's the fix it, and I'm the, it's okay. It's going to be fine. But what I have learned, and it's so funny, and we'll get back to the actual, like, learning more about you, but now we're just processing parenting. This was my big aha moment, is accepting how different my one of my daughters is from me, mm-hmm. and that my worldview and my maybe our worldviews are more similar, but my approach mm-hmm. to life is very different than hers. And accepting over the last few years that that's okay.
Yes,
I want to go through life. I want everyone to like me. I want to be positive. I don't want to go on to the negative and just a little too like. Rose-colored glasses kind of person.
Right.
And that's not who she is. And you know what? Maybe in this, and we'll go deep, maybe in this time, there are a lot of things to be angry about. There mm-hmm. are a lot mm-hmm. of things to maybe not accept, and not everyone needs to like you, and maybe there's... So I've really tried to... I'm not trying to take on that approach, but accepting that we are different people. Like, this is how I would handle this situation, but maybe... So that's why all I can offer is... hugs and cheeseburgers and yeah. shopping trips, because I would handle it totally different.
And we need both, you know? Yeah. We do need both. And I think that produces balance, mm-hmm. you know? It produces a sense of balance, and it produces a pathway forward with whatever it is that we're feeling at that moment or dealing with at that moment, be it, you know, in our mind, whether it be in our emotions, be it a heartbreak, you know, whatever it is, you do have to have a solution for the now, but then you also have to have a path forward.
Well, and I think bringing it back to you and your journey, because if it's okay to share, because you shared this with me, sure. not only are you the child of pastors, not only do you have your own flock of six children, six mm-hmm. men, but you yourself were a pastor for a really long time. And so
really long time.
Tell us about that and how that, because I wanted kind of how you take that into your current work, but tell us about that part of your journey, because it was like 30 years, right? We just sort of skipped over that.
Okay, so again, going back, raised in the church, mm-hmm. My grandparents were pastors, my nana, mm-hmm. My pop-pop, who's still living, he's 100. He was a bishop, is a bishop, I should say. And, you know, my father and mother, of course, didn't begin as pastors. They were in each other's church. My parents met and dated long distance. So mm-hmm. my grandmother pastored in Newark, New Jersey. My father's pastor was in a little town called Townsend, Delaware. Mm-hmm. So his pastor and my grandmother's grandmother were in the same organization. We were in the same organization, the church organization. So Mother Henry, being much older than my grandmother, kind of mentored my grandmother. So that's how my parents met.
Aww.
You know, at conventions, 3-4 times a year, seeing each other, writing letters and, you know, in the mail. And this is how they courted. And they've been married now for, wait a minute, 75. They've been married for 50 years, August 9th.
Nice.
So.
Mazel tov.
Yeah,
I'm forgetting my Jewishness to that. But that's wonderful.
Yeah. So my father started to pastor. I was in my high school year. He had served his pastors for years. We moved from one city to the next and joined another church, which was an outshoot from the original church that we were part of. And he was there as a deacon first, I believe. And then I remember the day that he was ordained as an elder. I remember that vividly with mm-hmm. Apostle Mayfield's church. And that began his journey as an assistant pastor. And he served there a long time. Mm-hmm. And then the bishop of our organization at the time, of the national organization, sent him out to pastor in mm-hmm. Wilmington, Delaware. And that was in 1994 or mm-hmm. either 93, one mm-hmm. of those years. I started preaching at 12. I did my initial sermon at 12 years old.
Nice. In Judaism, we'd call that your bar mitzvah, but go on.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's wonderful.
That's when I did my initial sermon.
I love it.
And so from what year was that? I don't know. 1988. From 1988 until 2005, because Daniel was born then, in September 21st, I launched our local church in that year, 2005. Until that time, I traveled Africa, South America, all those places.
Oh, hardcore travel. Okay.
Yeah. Up and down. Mm-hmm. And singing was always a part of that. Albeit it was gospel at the time,
mm-hmm.
a lot of, you know, all gospel. And so we sang, this boy right here will
turn any audience out. All of my children can sing, perform. And
I want them to sing, don't you? I mean, I can tell you the most...
They put me out of church for singing.
I want them to sing.
Put you out of church.
Okay, yes. Go on.
So that was my journey for years. And, you know, it was all I knew. Mm-hmm. Church was all I knew as a relates.
Third generation. Yeah, that's your family business.
Yeah, it was all I knew as it relates to what to do. Mm-hmm. Like, that was my... That was my vision. That was my aspiration. You know, in 2005, we started the local church. From there, the church grew. We started other churches in Florida and Africa and I don't know where else. Where? Georgia, Maryland.
Okay, so you franchised. I don't know what that's called. What is it called when you just started chapters?
Yeah, it was
Florida, Georgia.
Yeah. So we lived a life on the road.
Whoa, so you would just go to other places and start congregations, start churches, and then once they were stable enough,
put a pastor
structure, and then you go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Was it, what kind of church was it? Because I was like, you said Apostle was an apostolic church?
Yes. So
I have hung out in Apostle. Do not let this confuse I have spent time in apostolic churches, and then I'm going to spend all day in a missionary Baptist church on Saturday. I do a lot of work there.
Here's the thing, and I always like to make that clear when we say apostolic, because apostolic does have a stigma to it. Mm-hmm. Because
the
one
I went, super engaging.
Okay.
Amen.
So
I loved it because constant interrupting in a great way, call and response, and people. I was taken by it. Yeah. My friend was with me, and she was just like, "You have been taken," and I was like, "Yes."
It's you know, the power of God is very present. Mm. When I was coming up, apostolic meant doilies on your head. Mm. You couldn't wear makeup. Mm-hmm. The women could not wear pants.
It was like an old fashioned.
I saw one that was just super engaging.
Bingo.
And alive.
Yeah.
And we asked them to do an opening song and prayer. It went for 15 minutes, and there was an electric guitar, and there was a keyboard, and there were drums, and people were coming up from the audience onto the stage. Mm-hmm.
Because that whole train of thought,
gorgeous.
That whole train of thought is empowering the next generations, you know, because when you really deal with it biblically, which we don't want to get in a Bible study lesson, I guess, but it's looking forward in time, right? Mm-hmm. It's not being stuck in my now. It's making sure that I do what I can do to prepare people and regions for what's coming futuristically. So there has to be a visionary to kind of look and peek into what is coming and plan for those changes and be ready when they erupt. So that's why you have the atmosphere of the love and the excitement and the, you know, the message of hope and love being released.
Beautifully said. And I'm stuck on the word through line because I have a sense of what you're doing now. Mm-hmm. And now it's starting to come together because, to recap, you went around filled with love and filled with, you know, passion. You helped create all of these different church communities, aka now businesses, created structure, excitement, and helped to create a path forward. It just, tell me if this is right.
Mm-hmm.
And then so I'm already seeing this makes sense now when the transition. All right, I'm catching up.
Mm-hmm. So
didn't want to jump ahead, listeners, but I know where this is going, this story, and I'm always annoying my husband, predicting what's going to happen in the movie. I'm already seeing it.
Yeah, so that's what I knew from 88 to 2005. Now, I mean, 88 to 2020. Mm-hmm. The bulk of my activity, I'm going to say 90% of it, I was in full-time ministry. That's what I did full-time. Minus a few times here or there where I would do other things. You mm-hmm. know, I would drive Uber. I did Lyft, you know, mm-hmm. to keep myself moving, keep income coming up. I had a lot of children.
You also did sales at my father's absolute favorite store.
Joseph A. Bank. Oh,
Joseph A. Banks, Joseph my A. Bank. Father loved.
Let me tell you something.
He was just there like 2 weeks ago. He loves it.
Absolutely love it. And that
we don't have sponsors, but we should get them to sponsor us. Go on.
That was part of my that was part of my journey coming here. So the transition happens when I moved from Maryland. Okay, mm-hmm. So I moved from Maryland in 2020, and moved to Pennsylvania. So all this time I am you know, ministry, pastoring, all of that. 2021, I shifted from pastoring. After pastoring for 16 years.
And do we need a little history lesson? That is smack in COVID times.
Yes.
That's an interesting time. Go on.
Yes.
It's when I changed careers, too, because of crazy craze. But go on.
And, of course, transitions were happening. I was used to being on the field, traveling. I had my local church set up where, you know, the elders and different ones ran it. And I was there, but I was also on the field a lot doing other things. So 2020, I moved to Pennsylvania, went through a divorce. Okay. Went from Maryland
to Pennsylvania.
Maryland to Delaware for a few months, and then from Delaware to Pennsylvania.
Okay.
All right. Moved to Pennsylvania, and I'm saying to myself, what in the heck am I going to do with my life? Because all I knew was church. Okay. And I got disenfranchised with the church. Okay. Because of stuff, which we don't even have time to talk about on this broadcast.
And but, I have seen that my mother-in-law's, again, don't let any of whatever. But my mother-in-law is an Episcopal priest. And so I have, in my husband's family, they're engaged a lot in church activities. I don't want to say too much, but then again, they're across the country. The whole sense of being disenfranchised or disillusioned and needing to take a break from church is one that I have heard about. So I just wanted to say amen to that. So you don't have to go into it, but if you don't, but I appreciate that, like all of us in our careers, there might be something that say, I need to take a break from this organization or this work or this.
Because what can happen is you can get stuck. And what I'm learning is when people view you in a certain light, you cannot grow. It will stifle your own growth by being surrounded by people who are locked into a certain perception.
It's a box.
Absolutely.
And they put you in a box. And you're like, I'm not putting myself in a box. Why are you putting me in it? All right, go forth.
And so it is. So I moved there. A very good friend of mine, he says to me, Ken, I have this position in Pennsylvania. I really want you to interview for it, apply for it, interview well, blah, 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 blah. So I did, and I was hired. And my first, I was a food and beverage operations manager for a couple of travel plazas. And so I was over the plaza. I would be a stand-in for the one kind of down the street. And I managed a plaza with, like, Starbucks. And you know how you go to the travel break areas.
Oh, yeah.
And that is when I started to see, Ken, you can do a little bit more than speak to a church. You know, you can do a little bit more. It, coming around different people, it unlocked different talents, right? And although I knew I had a voice to sing, it was locked into church arenas, right? And what I'm finding out is that your talents are transferable across the board. You can always fit it into what you are doing if you are in the right location. Right. So I was there. I transitioned from there to property management for a company for a very brief amount of time. And then that's when I went to Joseph A. Bank. Now, when I went to Joseph A. Bank, I found out that I could sell fire to the devil.
I was going to say, and this is really where you really were wearing so many different hats. You just went through this period of searching, trying out different. But yes, that interesting. I'll tell you, I sold men's ties when I was 20. But there is something. And how did you feel about that? Because that actually scared me when I found out I could sell a lot. I don't know. I found it scary. I don't know why I found it scary. But I was like, you saw a skill.
And I loved it. They'll tell you.
They would come
to the store, and I wouldn't leave. I love here's the thing about me. I've always been an extrovert. I love people, and I love to be around them. You know what I mean? I like to talk to them. I like to laugh with them.
I get
like this whole high, right? by being around people and being able to, whether it's teaching them, whether it's singing to them, whether it's whatever it is, I you see my voice, I love it.
Me too. People don't understand us. There's a lot of introverts in the world, or a lot of, like, when you do the test, like, I'm as far E as you can get, and mm-hmm. I think you are too. Mm-hmm. They don't get us.
No.
But go on.
And so
they're not like us.
I had a good time.
I'm actually more of like an ambivert?
Ambivert.
Ambivert.
Yeah. I'm not dismissing.
Where it's like,
yeah. My daughter says that too. Yeah. See, it's some kids your age. I don't mean to be disrespectful of your age, but I am hearing more. One of my daughters says the same thing. I'm the amber. She taught me the term ambivert. But your dad and I, we get our energy and our joy and our love all the way. So it is fascinating. Well, we can talk after the show about whether he exhausts you. I know I exhaust people, and I try really hard. There's like toxic energy, and I try so hard not to have it, but like being on the show riles me up. And at Joseph A. Banks, I mean, I could see really, because also people are there to put their best selves forward, right? They're getting nice clothes. They're at a special event or a job. Like, I could just see you rocking that.
Listen, it was such that, see, in the church, I it was important for me to empower them for their ministries. I trained a lot of deacons and elders and, you know, bishops and apostles, you know, all them. I trained a lot of them. And that was my vein at that time. But it didn't stop when I went into the marketplace. So when I went into Joseph Bank, and the men would come into the stores, or the women would come into the stores, you know, some of them, I would see them coming in, their shoulders are slouched, they're, you know, not feeling good about themselves, you know, and I would just sit in the store, stand in the store, and I would look at them coming in, and I would, my teammates would laugh at me. They're like, "You picking your victim?" I said, "I am." I said, "Because I want to see whose behavior I can change." I said, "Because this dude coming in here is depressed as he can be, and I'm getting ready to put him in a suit.
And it's going to just make him
He's going to look in that mirror. He's going to put his shoulders square back. And he's going to look at himself and say, you are a good looking man." And that's what I did. So that's what I put into that. Right. They'd come in for a belt.
Okay. Did they leave with a 3-piece suit?
Heather Altman, they leave him with hats. They leave him with custom made suits. They leave him with shoes to match, pocket squares and ties. Okay. And it was just a good thing. I had wives calling my cell phone, because all of my clients had my cell phone number. And I had some of them call me and say, "You saved my marriage." I said, "What are you talking about? I don't know what you did." Since he's been coming by in your clothes, he's different. He's more confident. He's more aware.
What's that saying?
The
clothes make the man, or
listen,
whatever. Or for others, you know, you dress for the job you want, or the situation. There's something about feeling good.
Yeah, I think feeling good just changes your mindset. And so it by default has to boost your confidence if you have a better mindset.
I know. And I will give another shout out. Joseph A. Banks has some expensive stuff, but they also have some really good sales. But like they do.
Always,
like my dad will be like, "Oh, there's a buy one, get one free pants or
a
shoe sale. Come with me."
There's always a sale. There's always a sale. And you know, that was the part. So it was in that area, that time frame, where my mind started to really shift and evolve, right? I'm coming out of a season of pain. I'm coming out of a season of transition. I'm coming out of a season of change, right? So I'm doing a book too. I'm going to be writing a book about some of this.
Of course you are.
Because
nothing will surprise me now.
I kind of look at that time as a cocoon stage, because it was a place of darkness for me. It was a place of isolation. But it was during that time at Joseph A. Bank that I started to wake up to myself. Because I began to see who I was, and I began to see who I was outside of being in the church, right? Where you got all these people, you know, looking to you for everything. And I'll leave it at that, that point. But I had to come to the point where I woke up to me.
Yes.
And I think there are a lot of people that are sleeping on themselves. They are in an emotional and mental coma. And they don't know how to come out because they don't know who they are. And at the same point, there's no one calling them out of their sleep, right? So I had people around me, not a lot, thank God. Samika Collins, thank you. Thank you, girl. You know, my mother, different ones, my auntie, that would do certain things to try to remind me who I really am. But then there were parts of me that nobody knew who I was, not even me.
Yes.
And it was during that time of me awakening to myself that I said, I have to do something with all of these things. My Nana told me on her deathbed, I was crying. And she says to me, why are you crying? I said, why are you crying? Why am I crying? I'm like, you're getting ready to leave. She said to me these words. She said, when I leave, I'm leaving empty. I did everything I was supposed to do. Mm-hmm. She went on down the line of what she was supposed to do. She said, now what you gonna do? Mm-hmm. You just make sure if it come to your time, you leave empty. Mm-hmm. And I'll take that to my grave, because although that was 16 years ago now, I remember that. And I remember, at that moment, thinking about the things. Now, this was 2009 this happened, right? I'm thinking about all the skills and all the things that I had running around in my head, being an author, being a singer, which is how I got my honorary doctorate degree. Someone took a book that I wrote that had to do with religious studies. I didn't know they were going to do it. And they enrolled in one of my classes, and I wrote a whole, 133-page manual. And she took it to a seminary. And they read it, and they asked the lady, who in the world wrote this? Because whoever wrote this has some type of experience. So long story short, they awarded me an honorary doctorate, for which I'm grateful.
I'm keeping a list of our, mm-hmm. I already told Ken this would be one of a few shows. Mm-hmm. We're going to dive into that. And I do want to say what you've shared before, and DeLon shared it on air, Dr. Canterbury, and a few others have, that their life transformation happened during, after, because of a period of darkness.
Listen.
That they went through something, and mm-hmm. it allowed them. And so we've had a few folks on the show talk about that journey. And so mm-hmm. because we met through DeLon, I can see that connectedness.
Seeds don't grow in the light.
Mm-mm. No.
They have to be buried underground. And photos, when we did the photos and the cameras, they're developed in darkness, the dark room,
I know, but here's happy, chill bee that, even though, and I've been through trauma, which is through, but I'm still I still want to find the positives around. And so to me, I love the story because there was darkness, but look all the great things that came out of it. So it was just as someone said, you need fire needs air to breathe or whatever it is, all those different cliches. But that was a growth time as
Absolutely.
Opposed to a close me down time.
Because I learned about me.
Mm-hmm.
I learned about the bad part about me. I learned about the crazy part about me. I learned about the wonderful parts about me. And then I accepted all of those things.
Well, and there's a lot to you. I mean, and we only have 10 minutes left. So there's a few things that I want to bring out. But what is so clear, even from the way we introduced, is that you are, we're all multifaceted and we all have layers. Mm-hmm. But the way that you have gone through there's just so many things that I can see why you've been involved, from the ministry work to the sales work to the entertaining work to the education work to the life coach. I can see why all these different mediums make sense. It's like a creative, when someone's like, oh, I do all these things. I could see why you can't be put in a box. That won't give you joy. You need too much energy and I get it.
And that's one of the things. So when I relocated here, it was from the senior living space from Pennsylvania.
And that's what I was curious about. So in our few minutes, and then we will definitely have you back. Mm-hmm. But where along the journey did this, because you and I have met through the senior living world. Yes. So how did you transition?
When I left from Joseph A. Bank, I was laying in my bed. This is a true story. I was laying in the bed, and I said, I have to do something different, right? And I woke up about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I went on Indeed,
mm-hmm.
and I saw a position for senior living community sales and marketing. Mm-hmm. Because before I went to bed, I was saying to the Lord, I said, I got to change. You feel the shift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I heard in my head, marketing. I heard it in my head, and I just went
to sleep. Well, you were doing sales, so...
Yeah. So I woke up and I saw this position. I applied for it, interviewed, I got it. And that was that job, shout out to Michelle Adams, I love you. That job that she hired me for showed me the ability that I have in the marketplace mm-hmm. to be a connector. Okay,
that's
to be a connector, because
mm-hmm.
I was responsible for driving census, and I did that very well. I was responsible for bringing families in. I did that very well. I did all of that. But the thing that I love the most is connecting people and seeing people who have a problem get it solved, mm-hmm. knowing that they can call Heather, and mm-hmm. Heather has 40 different avenues for each 40 of your problems. That makes a difference, because what that's going to do is save people time. It's going to yes. save them stress, right? Which, and when I look at that, somebody who can save a person or a family time and minimize their stress, you're adding years to their life. What are you helping them to do? Age well, right?
So totally agree.
I went there. I did what I did there. I became part of a wonderful community up there called Delco, and we did what we did. We referred to each other, home health, hospice, the whole thing as if it was here. I got that position. When I left there, I went to another community, Chestnut Ridge. Shout out to Alexis, and started doing the same thing there, which was one of my competitors from my old job. All right,
mm-hmm.
So I went there. Same group of people, same networking business. I use my music. What started is I started doing videos to my families. Mm. I didn't do emails. So when families
nice.
Wanted to tour.
People love that now.
I put my hat on and I did a video. I sang to them. When I find out that their families had a death, I'd sing them a video singing a hymn. If it, you know, I connected with them so that they could see that there was somebody in this area of being a marketer, because see, that's you just trying to get me to come in because of my money.
Yeah.
I was the type of dude, if you're not going to thrive here, I'm going to find where you are going to thrive, mm-hmm. right? Because that's important, because my name is on it, okay? So I don't refer to junk. I don't get connected to junk. It's important that we connect with quality people who have the same love for the older adults in our community. And that's where my love came in. I was with my Nana. You know what I mean? And
I was just thinking, this links back to such a strong roots with your mm-hmm. family, that you wanted to take care of other families too.
Cause absolutely. You absolutely.
Respect that.
Absolutely.
I hate that. So we have like 4 minutes left. I'm trying to think of because I want you back. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think. You tell me what would be the most helpful with our 4 minutes about what you're doing now, because clearly yes. there are so many gifts that you bring, and I could see why any one experience, you got to keep moving. You got to keep trying something different. And,
yes.
and so what are you doing now that you'd want the listeners to know of, like, how can people connect with you now? What are you up to?
You can connect question. With me on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
My first name, Ken. Last name is Ringgold, RINGGOLD.
Mm-hmm.
Instagram is IAMLION. I am Lion.
Oh.
With 2 7s behind it. I am Lion 77.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm doing now is I am motivating and inspiring people. That's the first thing. So mm-hmm. I use my media platform to do videos concerning fitness, inspiring people to.
Alicia, did you hear that?
I heard it.
I'm trying to make eye contact with you. I know. She's like, this is my people. Okay, go on.
Yeah, inspiring to get to the gym. If you can't get to the gym, I'll come work you out at your house, you know, help you figure out what you need to be eating, what you don't need to be eating, but give you the mindset to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first thing. That can be a show in itself.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is I'm diving into my vocal ability. So every Wednesday night, I know it's a little ways, but I perform in Durham at the Blue Note Grill every Wednesday night on open mic. And you can see some of my clips of my performances on Facebook, and some of my friends post them and all of that. So I'm about to do a benefit concert for the Durham Center for Senior Life.
Oh, I love them, yeah. And I love that.
Yeah, on October 23rd between 6 and 8, all right? Tickets, they tell me, are going fast. You can buy them online.
Is it at the Durham Center for Senior Life?
Is.
Or is it
the Blue
Note? Yeah, okay.
It's at the Durham Center, and you can go to givebutter.com.
Mm-hmm.
Givebutter.com /DCSL concert. and you will find where you can purchase your tickets for that. So we're doing a benefit concert, and there are some other things in the works going on for me musically that I'm going to be doing and sharing. And those are the things now that I'm working on inspiring. I'm doing some image consulting for a few people.
I want to talk about that next time. I'm making a list.
Yeah, image consulting, and I'm also doing forms of therapy, where or counseling, I should say, for folks who need more confidence, folks who need to dig into how they can become more self-aware, self-confident, so that they can march into their future and dominate. So those are the things that I am diving into at the moment.
We have so much to talk about. And Alicia, it will shock you not at all that I was talking to Ken. I'm like, Ken, you need your own show here at WCOM. I know. I could see. You've made Alicia speechless. I think there's a lot to share. And as you use your voice, and it's something that Alicia and I have been doing for the past 2 years when we were offered this crazy opportunity. Mm-hmm. We're like, that is ridiculous. Yes, we are in. We will start a radio show. And I think having you and your beautiful voice and your beautiful just experiences behind the mic, wherever that takes you, but I know you're all the way in Raleigh, but come back to Carrboro.
Absolutely.
Anytime. And I got to thank you so much.
It is my pleasure.
Mr. K, I didn't hear a lot from Mr. K here. You know,
I mean, it's not really about me right now.
All right.
I like the support of my father.
Yeah. That's so nice. I like it.
And he's so sweet. And every time he talked, I talked over him. I'm sorry, my friend. Again, I don't know, boys. And I was like, he could be my son.
Girls. She's girl.
And I guess, and I miss my girl. So I see another younger person. I'm like, oh my God, let me parent you and buy you things.
How many minutes do you have left?
I got none.
Okay.
All right, but say something. We can do it.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Yay! Oh, wait. Oh my gosh.
You want to hear more singing like that, you got to come to the benefit.
I know. Hey, good. You got Ken trained. He's a good manager and promoter.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, with that. Kenneth Ringgold, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Kay, thank you. And Alicia, thank you.
Hey, thank you, Heather.
WCOM LP Chapel Hill Carrboro, thank you for hosting our show. Orange County Department on Aging, thank you for sponsoring our show. And listeners, thank you for being on this journey with us. And we will be together next week. Take care.
Be well.